CliffCentral.com.
Our moral compass of this moral compass. The needle of the moral compass that the president has lost its moral compass.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Yes. Or as Leanne likes to call it,
almost Monday.
She loves...
We're so close.
She loves herself some Monday. All right, everybody, let's get going. We've got things to do, people to see, places to go. It's a busy Friday. Lots of things happening. Almost November. November is waiting around the corner.
And then it's basically January.
Yeah, well, you see, this is the way Leanne thinks about things. Can't just enjoy the moment, can you? Waiting for something shit to happen
yes.
just around the corner. What a way to live. How are you?
Oh, top of the pops. Just grand, thank you.
Leanne Moll, Ben Karpinski, Nolo Hilly. No see her today because he's busy doing this project for us for MTN and he's in Bloemfontein. He did phone me this morning at like 4:30.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Blast him. Hi, see ya. Oh, no. He goes, no, I'm sorry, I just woke up. I think he usually gets ready and like gargles with warm water or something.
Me.
Larrily, 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 larrily.
He's going to be bad old.
Oh, he's going to be so bad old.
I can see it.
It's like a long time to go, but it's just.
He's going to be like Uncle Ruckus. All right, so it's Friday. We made it to the end of the week. Congratulations. Isn't that nice? Got so much fun stuff today. We've got the Burning Platform with Michael Apple. Of course, we've had him on before from ENCA. And he'll be talking to us about, among other things, the Estina Dairy, which continues to plague South Africa, is a great example of how politics can screw up all the best ideas in the world, and politicians, greedy politicians, and their friends, even greedier, what would you call them, robber barons, like the Guptas, can come in and take a perfectly good working establishment, I mean a dairy, really, and everything was there already. All they had to do was run it, and they ran it into the ground. It was absolutely plundered. So we'll talk about that. The reaction to the midterm budget speech and a bunch of other stuff. But we also have plenty to keep you laughing and smiling today so that you can start your day right.
Greg.
Can we get some bad news out of the way?
Yeah, I'm nervous. What bad news?
The supposed 5 billion rand bailout for SAA?
Oh no, have we done it again?
At what stage do we say, okay, this is the last one? Or is that just... Because unless we say it's the last one, then they won't change anything, right?
You know, if a parent lets a kid get away with something.
Yeah.
Let's say they catch their kid stealing. It's a bad thing. You know that that's going to lead to a really troublesome adulthood. So if you catch your child stealing, you sit them down. I'm not a parent, but you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, and I'd like to hear from parents who actually have had to do this. Sit your kid down and you say, look, stealing is wrong. If I catch you doing this again, X and Y and Z are going to be the consequences. Then when you catch them doing it again, you have to do X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they don't believe you. Mm-hmm. And they'll do all kinds of other things. And they don't respect your ta-ta.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you're a parent who lets your kid get away with bad behavior and wanton destructiveness and profligate spending and all kinds of other things over and over and over and over and over again, eventually the kid just doesn't care and does whatever it wants. Is that the situation we're in with him, with SA?
I wouldn't mind the government as a parent if this is the case.
Yeah, they just bail you out. It's like you get arrested for drunk driving, and your parents come to the jail and they go, "Let him out. He's sorry.
Can I have a whiskey and drive me to the shops?"
So this whole like tightening the belts, then the post office is getting 2.9 billion. Can we just close these pieces of shit?
Yeah, I mean, really, they're not great. I've been waiting for a package from, I think it came from America or from, it could even have been from China, I can't remember. But I've been waiting for it for 3 months. And I know good people at the post office. We've got someone amazing here at the post office just up the road. Her name is Busi, and she's really, really trying her best. But the infrastructure is so diseased. that Bussy, with all the best intentions in the world, can't fix the whole post office herself.
Sure.
You know? She's just trying to do her job. SAA, I know loads of people, cabin crew, pilots, good people who work really hard. And they are fantastic when you're in the plane with them. But they can't be responsible for all the screw-ups at management level, right?
Mm.
And they can't fix that. And I don't want to see SAA go under, but at this point I'm starting to think, why should we keep paying for something that clearly does not work? If something doesn't work, you've got to stop paying for it.
But the fact that people keep signing these checks, is there an accessory to a crime now? It has to be seen like that.
Yeah, I think there should be punishment there as well. Like the parent example. Also, if the parent keeps doing bad things, like Ben has said so many times, if you're a parent and you raise a bad child, there should be some punishment in the offing for you.
Mm.
You should get something. You know, there should be, like, you as the parent have raised this bad egg.
There should be penalties of a kind.
Don't you agree?
From whom?
Well, I mean, in this case, the only people who have a monopoly on violence and authority, the government. You don't think that's a good idea? For good reason, I'm sure.
Yeah, no. The government dishing out punishment to this point is...
Yeah, it's a very bad idea.
Okay, but now I've got good news.
Okay, good. Thank you. These were sinking into a depression on a Friday.
These are stories
I started to see Monday as good, like Leanne.
Because I have these stories, and then we don't use these stories. But you know that there's like this new road. If you drive from Johannesburg to Hartbeespoort, and follow through to like Brits and Sun City and stuff, you have to go around that sort of dicky road, and you end up in that four-way stop where they sell you basically Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's inconvenient. But now they've plowed through that mountain.
Yeah.
The R512. So literally,
really?
You go over the dam, you look left, you see the hyacinth, you look right, you see the medical waste and all that kind of stuff. And then there's like this hill in front, and normally you've had to go right or left. Now you can go straight over the mountain. So it'll cut like time to Sun City by like half an hour.
That's excellent.
This is the good news though. It was done within budget.
No way.
And within the time allocated for it. So it actually went to plan.
Someone has to find that project manager.
Someone has put together an actual construction that was in budget, and it's big. It's not like, just knock a few trees down and put some tar down. It like went through a mountain.
That's amazing.
Through a hill.
That's fantastic.
And here we go. It's ready for the summer season.
I love it.
Hmm.
An incredible
Terrific.
Story.
All right. Well, there we are.
And it won't be told.
Even better.
You just did, kind of.
Yeah, sorry to tell you that, Ben.
No, told.
Guys, don't piss on my good story with your cheap
told.
Gore jokes.
Oh,
I was right. With you, Nolo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both of you.
I seriously.
Trying to bring some good news here, and it's all but
took you guys
a
second.
It won't be told, but you just did.
It won't be told.
That's very nice, Ben. Ben is going to Secunda this weekend.
Yeah, Graceland.
What does one do there, Ben? Yes.
Golf. Golf. There's a Mr. Gary Player Design golf course at Graceland, and I'm going there. I'm going to go review the golf course. I'm going to play the golf course. I'm going to observe the golf course.
Play the golf course. Observe the golf course. Do, 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 do.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I drive out today. So if you're in Secunda area, I'll be there.
Are you going to go via your famous mountain road now?
I wish, but it's the opposite direction. Yeah, it'd be most foolish.
Do you know how to get to Secunda? Have you been there before?
Go east.
Have you been there before?
I DJ'd there once.
At Graceland?
Yes. No, at Secunda.
In the town?
Yeah. It was one of the most horrible experiences of my life.
You made it out. And you weren't killed.
Well,
it's very impressive. What did you wear armor?
I was aggressively sort of picked up on by these girls. I'm sure we're part of the local gang when I went to the bar.
Yes.
They were wearing like choke chains
Tell
for jewelry. It was rough, Gareth. It was very rough. I went out to DJ at, I think it was the Bourbon Street. I was like there.
Yeah?
I was like their named DJ for the night.
Wow, Ben.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Some soft piano music might actually work here. And I had to go and have, as I was driven out there, I had to go have dinner with like the club owner and local gangsters. You know, like a sign of respect, I think. And then once that got going, the one speaker that was working in the club was distorting something incredible. And then I was shown the VIP area, which was basically, it looked like a meth room. Got into my set, probably... Because, I mean, they said, yeah, you can stay over this guest house. And these girls were circling at the bar like sharks.
Yes.
So I just said to the guy, dude, we've got to drive back right now.
And you got the hell out of there, huh?
And we drove back through the thickest mist and fog. And
By the time I got to Joburg, it was like 6 in the morning.
You were traumatized.
I was shattered. I was traumatized. And I was fetal for about 2 days. But here I am. I'm old enough to go back.
And here you are going back into the fray.
Well, now I'm going to like a fancy place.
Yeah, no, well, look, that hotel's quite something because it's in the middle of this green area.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only green color you'll see in the whole of Secunda. Then there's
as
this
in
hotel.
Shrubs.
I went there. I did a function there for, I think it was Cecil. But then in the distance, I've said this before because it really, you talk about being traumatized. It traumatized me. So if you ever been to Secunda, Nola?
No.
Ass?
Nope.
Okay. Have you ever seen Lord of the Rings?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen what Mordor looks like, where the volcano is, and those monsters that... those things, those huge big flying monsters.
Those raptors.
With the long necks.
I don't like where this is going.
and orcs. Huh? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what is it good for, the place?
They have one of their big power... I don't know, their oil to... They convert coal to oil.
You don't really know, do you?
No, I don't really know. But it is. There's fire coming out of these huge chimneys. Fire. Actual fire comes
blowing
out of
blowing smoke.
There's fire that comes out of the chimneys. There's smoke and soot in the air. You can actually taste it.
Goodness me. And can't, then?
Well, it can't be very healthy to live there. I don't know how the locals manage.
They're probably just immune by now.
I mean, look, let's get back to the fact I'm going to a very nice part of it.
Yeah, but
and
I'm,
then there's the oasis of Graceland.
There's the oasis where I will be.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
That's good.
And you can see all my fun and gamings. Because actually there's a casino there as well. And I've been invited to some Afrikaans comedy performance.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Sure. That'll be fun.
Definitely give me a taste of the local cultures. Yeah.
Do you understand Afrikaans?
Enough, Ben? Nola. Enough to know when I could be in danger.
Enough to know when to laugh and when not to laugh.
That's what I was worried about.
No, I'm going to stay in my room.
All right, a couple of things that I wanted to bring up this morning. There are lots of stories in the news that may have your attention. They certainly have mine. And first of them is to do with Rosie O'Donnell. Apparently, she's finally gone crazy. Shall I play you a clip?
Yes.
Let you see what Rosie O'Donnell...
Yeah.
Rosie's been a major critic of Donald Trump for a long time because she and Donald have this long-standing feud. You remember, he called her fat and ugly, and he's never really been nice about it. He says she's a disgusting person. She's horrible inside and out, is what he said about
Jeez.
Her. Yeah. She's extremely unhappy about what's going on in American politics at the moment. She apparently used a gay slur against Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican. You see, you can use gay slurs if you're on the left. Can't use them on the right or you're a Nazi.
Of course, yeah.
But she's absolutely lost her mind. Just listen to this. I mean, you know how I feel about Fox News and MSNBC and all of them. I think they're horribly biased. But here's Tucker Carlson, who can be funny sometimes just because he's... he's one of those people. He tends to be very self-righteous a lot of the time, but he also tends to say a couple of things that are true. So I take out the things that I think are true, and I leave the self-righteousness behind. It's like ordering a meal, and if you don't like the broccoli, you just leave it on your plate, right? You eat the nice things.
Martial law? Nicole Wallace thinks that's a good idea. Dean Cain is an actor. He joins us tonight. You know, Dean, you've been here all your life. Obviously, you're a famous actor. If I were running the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, I would call Rosie O'Donnell and say, you pull back. Martial law, really? You're embarrassing us.
Yeah, well, I mean, that thing was a joke she said about sending the military over to get him out of the White House.
Yeah.
It was a joke, a thinly veiled joke. But when she did say, you know, she tweeted martial law, you know, impose martial law until we're sure the Russians had nothing to do. That was insane. I mean, that's a coup.
Well,
that's
it is insane.
It's crazy.
So what, but don't other people in her world say, look, Rosie, I get it. You don't like Trump. You're a liberal. Okay, fine. But you're discrediting yourself and the rest of us by acting like a mental patient on TV. Don't do that.
Well, that sounds entirely reasonable, Tucker. Why would something like that happen?
I guess that's
completely
right.
Reasonable. No, you know, I know, Rosie.
By the way, can I comment on how Dean Cain, who used to be Superman in a TV show, has become quite podgy and unattractive?
Happens.
It's life.
So you expected that?
Yeah, and okay, then you die.
I knew her back on our show back in the day, and we were very friendly and wonderful. I don't know that she would talk to me now, but I, I, I disagree with her.
Yeah.
And I would be happy to sit across from her and say, I disagree. And even on that show, all they did was laugh, and they're all on the same side. Why didn't anybody offer a dissenting opinion and say, well, that doesn't make any sense?
Yeah, why didn't Kowal say, really, martial law?
I mean, because that
seems a little, I mean, like, you know.
So let me explain in case there are, you know, people who are confused about the context of this. So Rosie O'Donnell's on The View or The Talk or one of those shows. You know, you've got a bunch of people sitting around a table, and they'll start, they'll shriek at each other. That's kind of the format
the
of the show. Yeah, The Squawk. I think that's what it's called. And Rosie O'Donnell said, oh, I hate Donald Trump so much. And all the other women went, yeah. And she said, we should impose martial law, which is where the army is able to
override
the justice system, the criminal justice system, the police. They can basically take control. And the scary part of martial law and why we don't like martial law in modern civilized democratic societies is because the army can execute anyone who they think is being a traitor, or they're endangering the public, or so they have the capacity to just shoot you in the street during martial law, because the army essentially has that executive capacity that's given to them during the period of martial law. Now, there are various rules that apply, and it's not the same everywhere, and some kinds of martial law aren't as draconian as that. But to call for that means, I mean, she wants to abandon the whole democratic project because she's so incensed with Donald Trump. That's kind of crazy. I do agree with these two guys, irritating and cackling as they are as well.
Yeah, it is a bit extreme. Mean,
can you imagine
extreme.
The, imagine
it's very
the,
extreme.
Imagine the army taking over and just coming into your house and going, you, we heard you were saying these things, shooting you. I mean, it's very scary. That's what autocracies do. Anyway, let's listen to some more, and then you give us your comments.
So how often do you hear stuff like that here at dinner?
Monday through Sunday.
Monday through Sunday.
Occasionally, I just won't go to dinner, so I'll miss it that night.
So it's ubiquitous.
It's constant. And on every film set, I hear it all the time. But here's the funny thing. I'll hear it from some of the actors, but then we'll go through and we're shooting something, and, you know, the grip will give me a little bump, like, hey, I'm with you. I know.
That's such an interesting point, and I've noticed this exact thing. How different are the political views of the crews, the sometimes unionized wage-earning crews, from those of the celebrities working on the
show? I would say they're diametrically opposed. That's been my experience, and I've only been doing this for about 40 years.
So don't the actors at some point say, I'm supposed to be on the side of the average person, the underdog. I'm surrounded by underdogs, people making a hundredth of what I make, but I hate them for their views? Is there any like dissonance?
No, they don't hear that at all. Because actors are, you know, all we hear is what we want to hear most of the time. I'm not really, I'm putting myself in that camp because I am an actor. But I'm, you know, I'm a Princeton-educated kid. I travel the world. I do things that I think have some substance in them. I talk to world leaders. I'm in bad places. But a lot of these people, they, you know, you're coddled as an actor. So, and you're told, you know, oh, you're so great all the time that people start to believe it. And they start to believe that their opinion means more than the guy who's, you know, clapping the
I mean, if you're making
there.
$10 million a year and denouncing your cameraman as immoral, maybe you would get some self-awareness.
Or at least, you know, out of focus.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a good point about actors and about people in the entertainment business, the news business even, because a lot of them they point themselves as kind of the arbiters of what's acceptable and what's unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah. They've got the perfect platform and everyone's listening. And they use it or abuse it.
And I've been guilty of it. I have to stop myself sometimes because you suddenly realize, oh, hell, that I don't know better. Who the hell am I?
Yeah.
No one appointed me. I didn't get elected. No one said, you should represent me. You sometimes have to check yourself. But a lot of actors, celebrities, news people, journalists start to believe their own hype.
Look at Meryl Streep, Bob De Niro.
I think it's the hype that's mostly created by the public, you know. They forget that it's just their job. They're not supposed to be...
Yeah, but here's Dean Cain. I mean, look, he's by no means an A-lister anymore. He's not even, I think, a C-lister. But at some point he was Superman. He started to believe...
That he really was Superman.
Yeah, yeah. But he's nothing compared to some of those people at the very top, like Ben mentions Meryl Streep and Robert De Niro. And I mean... Robert De Niro, didn't he go up on stage and like say fuck the president or something?
Yeah.
You're like, well, okay, look, I get that you're cross because you lost, because that's what it is. People don't like to lose. And the left especially hasn't lost for like 20 years. And now suddenly they're starting to lose. They don't know how to handle it. In a sports allegory, which Ben is usually good at, if you have a team, imagine the All Blacks suddenly started to lose everything that they did.
Oh, they would blame everything.
The refs, they would lose their minds.
Tattoos, everything.
Yeah. They would lose their minds. They'd go, this isn't how it should be. We're not used to this. For the last 20 years, the world has been moving, I think, in sometimes a very progressive way to the left. We've taken on an acceptance of things that should have been acceptable a long time ago. You know, gay rights, women's equality, racial equality, the establishment of systems that try to bring the underdog up. Those are the kinds of things that we want in the world. But then when they start losing elections, the left don't know what to do. They lose their minds. And people like Bob De Niro get up and start saying, fuck you, to the president. And Rosie O'Donnell says, declare martial law. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. That's the only way to describe it.
These people need to go spend a week in Kandahar or Nyanga or just somewhere where life actually happens in front of your eyes.
Sure. You're right. They're not going to, though. A 5-star hotel room in Cannes is much more appealing. Like,
your life is so hard.
Private jet.
Graceland, baby.
What are you doing this weekend?
I don't have any plans. To be honest, I have to just work.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. Well, I'm glad I asked.
It's really, move on.
Not anything from you?
Nothing confirmed, but we could be doing RTs this weekend.
Oh, really? Going out to the dam.
See the new construction.
Don't fall into the dam. There are a lot of barbel at the bottom there that can eat people, apparently. Yeah.
And they've grown. They've got
arms
now.
Wait, is that a true story?
Yeah, they've got arms now.
Teeth like piranhas.
Actually, someone actually spotted fishing the other day.
They actually got out of the water and fished
because,
other fish.
Because of all that hyacinth, a lot of those jetties are just useless now. No one's launched a boat in about 3 years. So the barbel have moved in.
Remember that song, How to Be a Sport Dumb?
It was a great song. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it quickly.
Where he pretends to sneeze. How to be a sport dumb. It's like a dumb.
I mean, it was classics like that that basically spawned other classics like Tut op me waterscooter.
Yes.
It's a whole genre. It's a golden era of Afrikaans music, really.
I wonder if I can find that song because I don't know. It probably won't be on YouTube, huh?
You'd be surprised.
Let's just see. I think I found it. I think I have it.
Yes, you don't actually just have it.
No. That doesn't sound like it.
No.
No, hang on. It might not be. That's one of those annoying ads. Here we go.
There we go.
En die sonnetjie brand jou bolle kop, het lyk soos 'n cherry confit.
This is where Nolo's going.
Good dumb is a lekker dumb is a fisherman's paradise. I rather sit with a fish on a hooker and idle by the ice. I rode the water so lekker on the dam in my opa's old canoe. He's my brother and my father and a Tommy with his car. We fish for the whole afternoon. With a fancy fish stock and a 20-pound string and a double-deck on control. Well, I know we don't catch so many, many fish, but I think we caught a cold.
This is where Nolo's spending her weekend. I discovered something interesting yesterday. We were looking at some of the numbers. Guess how many people are listening to us in Rustenburg this morning?
How many?
170. I didn't even know there were that many people in Rustenburg.
Nice, Rustenburg.
Isn't that nice? Let's give them a round of applause. Rustenburg. Wow. I don't know their names, but there we go. We've got people who listen to us in Rustenburg.
All of you guys can soon just come by that new road. Take half an hour less to get here. This new road's exciting.
Exciting. So there's a theme this morning about Harabiersportdam and Rustenburg, and we didn't even know that Nola was going there.
Well, I haven't decided. Well, I'm thinking about it.
You have to now.
It's a fisherman's paradise. I mean, that's why Nola's going.
Fisherman's paradise. All right, let's get on with it. We've got five things you need to know this morning. First of all, Patricia DeLille is going to be criminally investigated. Oh, yes. So it turns out, according to this anyway, the DA were right to throw her out. And we were also rude about the DA. Remember?
Most of you.
I was very rude about them. I'll own that. After two reports into alleged corruption and maladministration, the city has compiled by law firm Bowman's a serious report discussed by councillors. and Patricia DeLille will be the subject of a criminal investigation. How's this? Apparently, she prevented former city manager Ahmed Ibrahim from reporting alleged corruption within the Transport Authority to the council. So, it's not about her security gates that she had in her mayoral house. She was distracting us. She actually tried to get one of the guys on the council to not investigate alleged corruption. Very dodgy. Councils agreed to institute disciplinary steps against DeLille and other councillors and officials implicated in the reports, which will include criminal investigations. This is not good.
See, but
and she's gone very quiet, hasn't she?
It makes a bit of sense, though. Why would the DA be like a dog with three bones about this? Like, they never let it go. This was a massive deal. It kept pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah.
Even, like, despite all the bad press. So clearly there was something at the bottom of all this.
There's something like the barbell at the bottom of the Hodebeespoort dam. This is the situation with Patricia DeLille. All right, the Gauteng ANC has announced that eToll's user pay system is not working.
Took them
all this time to figure that out.
Sure.
Next week, the sky is blue.
Let's have a moment to give the ANC in Gauteng credit for having figured something out in the last 5 years.
I wonder if there was a committee dedicated to this.
They probably
cost 380 million rand.
So the ANC in Gauteng have reiterated, this is not for the first time, that the eToll user pay system isn't working and the party is looking into proposing options of how to deal with SANRAL's debt and maintain the road infrastructure in the future. In his medium-term budget policy statement on Wednesday, Finance Minister Tito Mboweni said, "Nothing is free and the system will not be scrapped." Well, I'm so glad he said nothing is free.
It was years and years ago when they started this thing, and I remember you saying, "Don't buy one of the little gadgets that you."
I was an early, what would you call it?
Detractor, avoider. And Leanne, well, how's the story go from here?
Well, I eventually folded and I bought one. Yeah,
there we go.
Because I'm compliant.
You're a good law-abiding citizen.
Yeah.
And how's that worked out for you?
Well, now it just beeps, and that's all it does. It's like I bought a beeper. I don't see bills.
Really? Nothing happens?
No, nothing happens.
So you've got an interesting...
Now I know when I'm going under one of those bridge things.
And if you're sleepy in the car, it'll wake you up a little bit. Okay, but otherwise no purpose.
No.
So it seems that there is more confusion than clarity about whether motorists must pay their e-tolls or wait in the hope of them to be scrapped before the national general election next year. SANRAL's owed billions of rands and has served summons on non-paying motorists. By the way, make sure that you're a member of, what are they called?
AUTA.
AUTA. Because if you are, they will represent you if you get taken to court by SANRAL.
Oh.
And you can make a donation. You can make like a 10 rand donation to them, or 100 rand or 1,000 rand, whatever you can afford. And then you're a member and they cover you.
Okay, that's good to know.
So if you're worried that they're going to come after you, because a lot of people are, and SANRAL are so sneaky that they would do that, just become a member of AUTA and they will throw their legal representatives behind you if they end up taking you to court.
Good to know.
Yeah, there's something to know. The ANC in Gauteng spokespeople have said that although they agree with Tito Mboweni that SANRAL's debt must be paid off, it is clear the user pay method is not working. We agree with the minister, but we disagree that it must be paid through e-tolls. ARTA's Wayne Duvenacher has urged motorists who are not paying their e-toll bills to continue with civil disobedience. Yeah, there we go. See, I like him. If this is still in place by the time the next elections come round, I think Gauteng is going to be an interesting result. Yeah, but, you know, you can never bet on people voting for what is good for them. I mean, you know, blue-collar workers usually vote for the party that does them the most damage.
Most people don't know what they're really voting for.
They have no idea. You get people, like if you gave children the vote, they'd probably vote for abortion. People are dumb like that. They do that, I promise you. So for now, SANRAL is continuing to serve summons on individuals and businesses who are not paying their bills, with over 1,000 people already being represented by AUTA's lawyers in court. So there we go. If you haven't already got covered by making a donation to AUTA, do it today and they will look after you as well.
But like, would the court not go, right, we've had 10 of these cases, they've all gone to AUTA, can we not bring any more in here because it's the same bloody crime?
Yeah,
not
it's wasting called, well, the court's time. Usually it's called precedent and usually you can rely on it. Yeah, but I don't know if any of these...
Reset this?
I don't know if any of these have actually reached a point where a judge has adjudicated on them.
Well, I think it's like a TV license, isn't it? They'll scare you and they'll phone you and they'll bug you.
But eventually it'll go away.
Yeah.
All right, Trump has blamed the news media as two more suspicious packages were discovered. You heard about this, right?
Yeah, this is like, this sounds like own goals for the left. It really does.
Two more suspicious packages. Guess who got them this week? Former Vice President Joe Biden and actor Robert De Niro.
Well, there we go.
A very big part of the anger we see today in society is caused by the purposely false and inaccurate reporting of the mainstream media that I refer to as fake news, said Donald Trump on Twitter. It's gotten so bad and it's gotten so hateful that it is beyond description. Mainstream media must clean up its act and fast. So he is blaming them for the fact that they're getting these pipe bombs. The wave of suspected bombs on Wednesday and Thursday targeted well-known Democratic Party figures and critics of Trump as a manhunt intensified for a serial bomber less than 2 weeks before congressional elections on the 6th of November. Someone told me that these pipe bombs are so badly put together that none of them could go off. And so far, we haven't lost one Democrat.
Because some prick just Googled pipe bomb and opened the shed and see what they can do.
It's either some right-wing lunatic, which is the most obvious explanation, and they tried to figure out how to make one on Google and made very bad ones. Because it's really easy to make a bomb. It really is very easy to make a bomb. Nolo and I could go out into the car park now, with a few simple ingredients, we could make a big explosion. Trust me. Very easy. So if you can't figure this out, I mean, if you can't get your pipe bomb to Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Bob De Niro, George Soros, Bill Clinton, CNN, and what a cast of people to send pipe bombs to, really. The wave of suspected bombs has got Democrats a little bit nervous. They've called the threats a symptom of a coarsening brand of political rhetoric promoted by Trump, who also condemned the acts. Well, that's convenient, but it goes both ways, guys. And if you weren't also saying things that are inflammatory, then you wouldn't have been targeted.
Mm.
You know, this is the problem here. John O'Brien, who's a senator, said, "Stop blaming others. Look in the mirror. Your inflammatory rhetoric, insults, lies, and encouragement of physical violence are disgraceful. Clean up your act. Try to act presidential." He's talking to Trump here, obviously. "The American people deserve much better. By the way, your critics will not be intimidated into silence." Sorry, he's the former CIA director. That's why the name didn't make sense when I said senator. And Trump says it's the media, and this guy says, "No, it's you, Trump." But I think it's somewhere in between. Like, you know that they say, if you brought home, if your son or daughter brought home a same-sex partner, you'd probably be more okay with it than if they brought home someone from the Democratic Party, if you're a Republican, or a Republican if you're a Democrat. And if you brought home a black girlfriend or boyfriend, they'd be more okay with that than if you brought home a Democrat in a Republican Party, or a Republican in a Democrat Party. Isn't that interesting? So that's where the new discrimination lies.
Yeah.
Democrats and Republicans are further apart than they've ever been in America. Khashoggi, this story continues. You want to hear the latest update?
Always, Gareth, always.
There's a vigil that's been held outside of the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Supporters, friends and relatives of Khashoggi on Thursday held a candlelit vigil calling for justice for his barbaric murder. They chose the consulate to hold the first gathering of newly formed Jamal Khashoggi Friends Association. "From this place where Jamal lost his life, we clearly state that we will not accept compromises in the case of his murder," said a statement from the group. So that's going on. Sure. The Saudis keep changing their stories, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they admitting anything?
Well, they're saying now that this is an unfortunate incident, they're not entirely sure. Everything that they've admitted so far seems to be completely different to what they want to admit now. Who the hell knows? And then there was a 6.8 magnitude quake off Greece. The main town called Zante was down, that's electricity-wise, while the fire service reported damage to the road network caused by landslides, but that's near Athens, a powerful 6.8 magnitude earthquake, and people are saying that this could be one of many. So
that's the thing, once it gets started.
So look out. Look out! Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport, shall we?
Yes, Gareth. All it's right. Obviously the big Soweto derby, Pirates versus Chiefs. It's the Currie Cup final, Province versus the Sharks. And if you like F1, it's one of those two. Chiefs versus Pirates. Who's going to win? Who cares? It's about getting out there and having a great day out. Because, look, these games have been quite, well, historically rather boring. It's a big occasion for the players. It's a big occasion for everybody. And the score sometimes is a bit drib and a bit drab. Last time out, I think it was 3-1 actually to Pirates. So sometimes these games do deliver something. But this is kind of like, it's like just a big sporting event, really. Interesting stat. I mean, people say, like, you know, it's so cheap to go to football. Why do people not go to football? Why do people not go to things in this country? If you were to look at your average 40 Rand ticket to go watch football, right? Nothing much.
Is that how much it costs?
Yeah. Okay. It'll cost the average South African 277 Rand all told from door to door.
Okay.
So that's what a day out costs. It'll be worth it for a day like this. So every single day. I went to some fascinating Nielsen sports breakfast. That's where I got a stat like that from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people make their way out. It's a big thing. Obviously, huge amounts of eyeballs on this. And this is why these two teams get the massive money, essentially. Even though they're not always champions, kind of seldom recently, actually, they're still the biggest teams because of the groundswell around this whole Soweto derby. These two teams do have the history with it. So that'll take place tomorrow at 3:30 if you're looking to watch it. That's cool. You know, like, there's a big build-up, and SuperSport make a real big fuss about this. Like, there's helicopters, there's ground crew. It really is. It's a massive production. So if you've never watched a Soweto derby before, try it tomorrow.
Yeah.
It is cool. Like, I've been to a couple live. It really is just one of those things in SA Sport that you've got to sit back and just enjoy.
Well, there's a reason it's popular.
Exactly, Gareth. Exactly. 90,000 people to do something? It's a big deal.
Yeah, if you need more reasons, just ask those 90,000 people.
Yeah, so that's 3:30. Tonight, if you're a Wits fan, well, they're playing Highlands Park. That'll be 8 o'clock. Other games to look out for in the PSL this weekend: Polokwane City versus Barrowsburg United, Cape Town City versus AmaZulu, Chippa United versus Sundowns. And then on Sunday, we've got Bloem Celtic versus Baroka, SuperSport United versus Golden Arrows, and Black Leopards taking on Free State Stars. And of course, English football as well, which is just kind of like a better football. And those grounds are always sold out because what else is there to do but eat pies and drink beer and watch football? That's British life.
Get into fights.
Yeah, get into fights, and then you leave home and you get into more fights. But that's British life. That's British life, unless you're rich and then you can marry someone from Suits. So, tomorrow, Liverpool versus Cardiff City. That's at 4 o'clock. That's the first one to look out for. Fulham versus Bournemouth after that. Southampton versus Newcastle. That's a bit of a bottom dweller match, but these sometimes are the most enjoyable. Brighton take on Wolves. Watford versus Huddersfield. And Leicester versus West Ham. Then Sunday, the games do get a little bit better with some far more high-profile teams. Crystal Palace be taking on Arsenal. I think Arsenal have won like 11 in a row now across all competitions. They beat some Portuguese guys yesterday in the midweek Spurs Europa League thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Burnley will be taking on Chelsea. The both games 3:30. And then Man United, they just lost to Juventus. They're now at home again to Everton. A lot of long faces around Old Trafford at the moment, so maybe they can turn that around. And then the big one will be Monday. Spurs versus Man City, 8 o'clock at Wembley. Big stuff there. All right, so big stuff in the rugby. It is Western Province versus the Sharks. No, we can't say Sharks anymore because Ashman's not on TV. It's the Sharks. This is obviously a huge rivalry, and it's a rematch of last year's final. Now, the Sharks were, well, they were cruising to victory, and then the Western Province had the scintillating second half, which saw them Currie Cup champions in 2017. Now, Western Province have been the form team this year. They've been the better team, and you've got to say they are favourites, but not like a huge amount, though, because that Sharks pack is looking pretty handy. Now, that loose trio of Dan Dupree, Jean-Luc Dupree, and Tyler Paul, I know that sounds like an all-white bald boy band, and they might look it too.
Actually.
But that is a dynamic loose trio that's going to do wonders at Newlands. And I think they've got a strong enough tight five to really match whatever province are going to throw at them. Of course, though, Wilco Lowe, Bongi Mbonambi, Ali Famark, that's also a pretty handy front row for the Western Province. Could it be one in the backs? Well, if they get enough ball, you're kind of going to go with the Western Province backline, aren't you? Now, Josh Stunder's moved to fly half with Damon Willemser going to centre, which is an interesting call, but the versatility of Willemser does mean that the guy can literally play anywhere. And, of course, Province have been a very dynamic, free-flowing team this season, so you've got to think this is a good call. Ron Nell, who continues to make a big transition from 7s to 15-man game, he is just looking so strong at number 13. And then you've got Sergio Peterson, SP Mare. I don't know what the S or the P stands for, but I've related the P's been standing for points. And then Dylan Lades with a top knot at the back. So I'm going to go Province there, not because I'm from Cape Town. I just think they are actually a better team. So probably Province by about 5. That game will kick off Saturday at 4 o'clock live. So if you're not a Soweto Derby fan, carry cup in your face. That's the great thing about sport.
Very
There's
nice.
Always something else. Currently in the European Tour, it's the big WGC, HSBC,
championships in Shanghai, China. Tony Finau, who's having a great year, really fantastic year. He's currently at the top there on -9. Patrick Reed, -8. Xander Schauffele, he's American, not Afrikaans. He's -7. So those are your, just packed with Americans at the moment, actually. South Africans aren't doing very well. Justin Rose, defending champion. He is currently 4 back. And that, of course, is taking place in China. So that is morning China. Action. Also, some morning action will be kind of pointless Bledisloe Cup game. Now, I say pointless because obviously New Zealand win this every single year, and the Australians just kind of wish for, well, less matches, I guess. Now, this will be played in Tokyo, so it'll be 8 o'clock South African time on Saturday morning. And, well, we've kind of moved on. I think all the teams are now focusing on the big Northern Hemisphere tours, so this is a kind of a tune-up for that. So, look, we've got full-strength teams here. This should be interesting. And Sonny Bill Williams gets his 50th cap as an All Black, along with the boxing, the rugby league.
And how many women?
The tattoos.
And how many women he's come to South Africa and plundered?
He's probably a baker.
As didn't you once have
probably
Sonny Bill Williams?
Probably a baker's
dozen. Didn't I have her?
Didn't you once have Sonny Bill Williams?
Oh, have him?
No, didn't you once? Yeah, you did, right? At the Jolly Roger.
No, definitely not.
The thing is, Gary, Sonny Bill Williams is dedicated to the art of Islam. So he's probably not as promiscuous as you would think his good looks suggest.
Oh.
Someone like Ryan Crotty.
With a name like that.
He probably gets amongst it a bit more. I'd put money on Ryan Crotty being a bit more of a horn dog. He's just got that look
Ryan
about him.
Crotty.
Yeah, he's just got that look about him.
Sounds like Crotchy.
Well, exactly. Crotty on the crotch again.
Jesus.
Can't help himself.
There he is, ass. Would you give Ryan Crotty a second glance?
Anyone, really. It's been a while.
And then finally, the final the sports story for the weekend is the Mexican Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah?
Mexican Grand Prix.
Would you give him a second glance?
Lewis Hamilton.
Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. Have you heard of him?
Grand Prix. He's a failed racing driver, yeah. So the Mexican Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton needs just a 7th position to wrap it all up. And you got to think he will do it. I mean, 7th in that car, I reckon I could get a top 10. That car is so good.
Okay.
Probably not, but it's worth a stab. So he needs to, finish 7th in that stage. But of course, he's just aiming for the victory because he wants to win on a high. This is the third last race of the Grand Prix season for the year. After this, of course, there'll be muggings in Brazil.
Yes.
And then flashy lifestyles in Dubai. Sorry, Abu Dhabi. Oh, yeah. Dubai, Abu Dhabi.
Goodness
obviously.
Me, Ben.
I tried to look. There was a guy called Grant who worked at a place called Complete Pricks, but there isn't a Grant Pricks. There's a Grant Picks, and this is on Facebook, so then they don't exist.
Close enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much your sport. There'll be T20 matches between, Pakistan and Australia are still playing for that giant biscuit, if you're keen to watch that.
The
Tuck Trophy. I still can't believe that's the thing.
It's so bad.
That's your sport for the week. Nice. If you go onto cliffcentral.com, go onto the Bounce Pod feature, you'll find 2 fresh interviews there. I chatted to Tarek Smith from Blind Cricket SA yesterday, along with Rusty Peterser from Hockey South Africa. He is the South African goalkeeper. And the SA Hockey men's team about to play France in a test match series here, 4 tests next month. And they're going to the World Cup. So you can find out all about that on the podcast that I did for you there.
Lubabalo, question for you, Ben. The Naomi Chick who beat Serena Williams, how many matches did he win or lose since then, Ben? She.
I don't know. Lubabalo, I have not
Lubabalo
followed.
Says he, but I'm sure she.
Ever since Naomi went on to Ellen and started talking about favorite colors, let's pick it up back in the other Grand Slams. Let's pick tennis up in the Aussie Open.
Ask, would you pay if Etol sent you a bill?
No.
Okay. Dan says, for Ben, stay away from the casino that you're going to.
I generally do.
You don't want to get in between those very desperate people who probably earn peanuts but still gamble all night long. And you're going around payday, so it'll be extra busy.
Of course, yeah.
Lots of soaked nappies.
People going, golf course really great, though. This is all from Dan. The reeds are nice and long to make it a real challenge. Enjoy. It's from Dan. All right, very good.
Sweet. Yeah, well, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm excited.
Sean says, Secunda is Mpumalanga's East London. Also, I've heard some very sleazy stories about that place. How do you like that? Funda saying, good morning, Ben, Ass, and Nolo. We're missing Sia this morning. I hope his voice recovers for Monday. Well, his uvula.
His uvula.
I hope his uvula will be all right. Do we have an update on Sears? It seems to be all right. He said, I went to a meeting with him yesterday and he was fine.
Yeah, he said he was on the mend and that he was able to drink alcohol again.
I thought you said he was on the mend. No, I was going to say.
Well, that too.
All right. Very good. That's the update from the messages. If you want to send us a message, 0797482090. If you want to call us, 0861555189. Let's get your day going, shall we? Oh, there's Ben's music still. It's still going strong. CliffCentral.com